Turn to Ruth chapter 2, and we'll be making our way through the whole chapter tonight. Ruth meets Boaz. Then there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him, in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." Then she left and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to his reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered back, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this?" So the servant who was in charge of the reapers said, "It is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather reapers among the sheaves." So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she has rested a little in the house. We started making our way through Ruth last week and looking at chapter 1 and seeing that a family made a very bad choice in some dark times. Elimelech's family decided that, hey, you know what, there's a famine here in the land, but we hear that there's food down in Moab, so why don't we go there and sojourn for a while? They only planned on staying there for a little bit. A little bit turned into 10 years. 10 years turned into, you could just sum it up with one word, loss. You remember that Elimelech ended up dying. Naomi's two sons ended up dying, but while they were there, they married a couple of Moabite women. Now, what is really interesting about this is we took some time to look at the names. The name of Bethlehem was House of Bread. And you remember from studying and looking at the Old Testament, the Lord said that He would always take care of His people and He would bring rain and they could just hang in there and hang out and they would be okay. But they made a decision based on what they could see and what they could feel. They made a decision based upon economy. And we see Christians all the time making decisions like that based upon economy. And then another thing that we looked at is Elimelech's name, which is, my God, I'm sorry guys, I'm out of it a little bit. My God is King. And we wonder why this man would make a decision like this and why he didn't live up to his name. And so as we looked at this family and the situation and seeing that the decisions they made had unforeseen circumstances, I don't know about you, but it kind of broke my heart because I know folks that make those kind of decisions all the time. And they deal with the consequences of those decisions. So Naomi hears that there's bread in Bethlehem and she decides to, hey, I'm going back home. She makes her way. She starts going. Two of her daughter-in-laws say, hey, we're going to go with you. One of the daughter-in-laws just kisses Naomi. The other clings to her, which is Ruth. And she says, you know what, I'm leaving all and I'm banking on you. I'm banking on this and I'm going to go all the way. And so as we finished last week, they show up at the right place. They show up at the right time. Barley harvest. Naomi is in need of restoration. And what we're going to see unfold in chapter 2 is the beginning of that, and then ultimately in chapter 3 and chapter 4, really the completion of that. I sometimes wonder when I run across people, run across Christians who are just so defeated and down on their luck, my heart breaks because I know what they're in need of. They're in need of restoration. Maybe they've been in a backslidden state. They made a bunch of bad decisions. They're dealing with the consequences of those decisions, and those consequences are still playing out, and they haven't come to fully just come back to Jesus and rest in Jesus and allow Jesus to restore them. There's something beautiful about when we as Christians make boneheaded decisions that cost us on a magnitude level, and then we run headlong back to Jesus as fast as we can, and then Jesus starts the restoration of the situation. Not necessarily that circumstances change instantly. I think we lived enough to understand that. But he comes in such a wonderful way and starts doing more with more than what we thought he would ever do. So tonight we're going to see that Ruth is going to meet the right guy at the right place at the right time. Proverbs 6:9 says, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." God's providence, his divine guidance and care. Havner said this once about God's providence: "All of my days I've been aware of one going before me and with me, of doors ajar that I could have never opened." Jesus said this to the church in Philadelphia in Revelation 3, 7 through 8. "And the angel of the church in Philadelphia write these things. He says, he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it. For you have little strength, but you've kept my word and not denied my name." I was talking to a pastor friend of mine, I guess it was a couple of weeks ago, and we were kicking around some different things or whatever, and in regards to opportunities. And his heart was, it's not about opportunities, it's about that just God opens doors. And think about all the doors that the Lord has opened for us at some point in juncture in our life. Most of the time, I would be willing to bet we didn't have the clarity that we wish we would have had. And so tonight, as we're looking at this situation, let's understand something. The Lord is opening the right door at the right time for these great women of faith. Verse 1, Boaz. "There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth from the family Elimelech. His name was Boaz." This guy is the right place and at the right time. You know, on another note, if you have young single adults, man, you ought to point them to this story and say, you know, if you just trust the Lord with where you're at, you'd be amazed at what he would do. Because one thing I tried to get across to college students is dating's really not the best option. If you will wait on the Lord, and if you will seek just first His kingdom and His righteousness, and in God's way and in God's time, He'll bring you who you need. You don't really know who you need and when you need what you need, but God does, and He knows where she or He is at, and if you just wait on Him. See, Boaz is the right guy at the right time at the right place. We find out in verse 1 why this will be the field that she needs to glean. See, there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth from the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. First thing we find out about Boaz is he's a relative or a kinsman, if you read the King James. Naomi is related to the man of Boaz through her deceased husband, Elimelech. We don't know exactly how the relation's taken place, but we do know that he is related. One more thing is very important. A kinsman. This introduces the important word in the book of Ruth. The ancient Hebrew word is what? Or in the Hebrew, it's go. Well, to say that Boaz is his kinsman is more than saying that he was a relative. Goel. It's saying that he is a special family representative. He's the chieftain in the family. Boaz's name also means strength. The second thing we find about Boaz is, guys, he is banking. He's a man of great wealth. Now, here's something to ponder. Remember why Naomi's family left? There was a famine in the land. They made a financial decision based upon what they see. But we read that Boaz is a man of great wealth. See, friends, the Lord took care of Boaz in spite of the famine in the land. And I think we need to realize that God takes care of His kids. You know, when Jesus says stuff like, you know, hey, don't worry. Don't worry. Look at the birds of the air. God takes care of them. I love Psalm 37. And if you're a little wigged out about what you see going on in the world, I encourage you to read Psalm 37 and meditate on it. But here's just three verses, 23 and 26. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I've been young, and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He's merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Naomi and their family made a choice 10 years prior in a time of famine. But we read here, guess what? The people of Bethlehem, they didn't die from the famine. But Naomi and their choice played out, and it brought great loss. Because remember, them going to Moab is they're leaving the promised land, they're leaving their inheritance, and they're going back into the wilderness. Bottom line, the Lord took care of Boaz. Spurgeon said this, "And when you trust God in spite of all outward appearances and surrounding circumstances, it's comfortable proof to yourself that you're on good terms with the Lord, that you're walking in sweet fellowship with Him. That is one of the most blessed facts in your whole history." So we read here that Boaz is a wealthy man, and the Lord has taken great care of Boaz. Not only that, look, verse 2 and 3, these girls are in need of some food, but this is how the Lord is going to get Boaz and Ruth together. Something so simple, something so basic, just the need for food. So here's what happens. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean heads after him in whose sight I may find favor." She said to her, "Go, my daughter." And then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was the family of Elimelech. "Please let me go to a field and glean grains of head." In Leviticus 19, verse 9 through 10, we read, "When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest, and you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I'm the Lord your God." He commanded farmers not to glean their fields completely. They were commanded to leave some behind for the poor. But the poor has to put some work in to get their food. And that's something to understand as well. They needed to work for their own needs. They would have to go into the fields and glean. We find something else about Ruth. She's not afraid to put some sweat equity in to help him meet their needs. She left. Ruth did it all on her own. Bottom line, she's not afraid of getting her hands dirty. She's not lazy. And I think that's very... You know what I would love to tell guys, young guys? Because when they make decisions, a lot of times they bypass... When single adults make decisions, they bypass the most important quality normally, character. Character. I can tell you straight up now. I'm being honest with you. I really think I'm just going to be... Not even let my precious little daughter date. You know, you can come over and hang around the family. Might even let you sit on the porch or whatever. I'm not going to make it easy for this brother. I want to know if he can work. Are you willing to do what you got to do? Are you just looking for a free ride? I mean, I want to know this person. See, we're already finding out incredible things about this young lady, Ruth. She's not afraid to work. She's not lazy. And this is very important to understand. God's going to step in unnoticed here. But other people are going to be observing this woman and her character. Now we find that she is coming to the exact place that she needs to be. She had no idea that that's where she needed to be. Because as we're going to read the rest of the chapter, we're going to see all these kind of circumstances unfold, and it's going to be kind of high drama, and it's going to be really neat. But let's understand something. Who's guiding these steps? Who's working? I think sometimes in regards to when we're trying to discern the Lord's will, we feel like we got to have the chapter and the verse, and we just don't trust that God's going to just take care of us. I mean, what are the odds? What does she really know about the area of Bethlehem, by the way? You know, it's a city that's set up on a hill, and they got the farmland around. What does she know? She knows absolutely nothing. And not only that, why is it important that she goes to the right field at the right time? Because Jesus is going to come through this bloodline, by the way, as well. Think about that. So we see God working and moving, and He's coming in so unnoticed in the mundane. And I think most of the time, that's where we miss it. We just think it's the same old, same old. And God's always working and He's always moving. And they went and gleaned in the field after the reaper. She happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was the family of Elimelech. She happens to come to this field. That's how Ruth was going to see it at first. But later on, she will see the Lord guided her to this field. Friends, the Lord is always working. But here's the bigger question. Are we willing to put in some work? She stays in bed. She hangs out. And she waits for maybe her mother-in-law to go with her and glean or do this. You know what? She's missing an incredible opportunity. She's willing to get up and take a few steps of faith. And what we're going to see is she is going to have an incredible moment with the Lord. Because what's going to happen, she's going to find herself in the field belonging to Boaz. And what she is going to experience through Boaz, as we're going to read, is really the Lord's kindness. This is going to be one of her, I think, probably second experiences with the Lord. One thing to think about here, she's a worker bee. She said, let me go to the field, verse 2. Let me glean in verse 3. Verse 13, she says, let me find favor. God leads her in the choice field, so she comes face to face with one man that God has chosen to redeem her and marry her. How simple would it be if single adults would just trust the Lord with their single? It took me a long time to figure this out. I'm talking from experience. My goal, my desire was to be married early. That's what I wanted more than anything in the world. I get saved at 25 and I'm thinking, okay, the Lord's now going to move. And I was so discontent in my singleness that I had to go through a broken engagement in 2000 for the Lord to really get my heart and wake me up to the fact you don't really know what you need. I do. So here's what you need to do. You need to start praying and fasting for this person. If I could encourage single adults in anything, God can meet your need. But you know what? On a grander scale, what are we not trusting the Lord with? How many times do we operate by the motive of, I know what's best, instead of, Lord, you know what's best? One thing to think about, God always blesses diligence and not laziness. Just read Proverbs. Here's Proverbs 24, 30-34. I went by the field of a lazy man, a vineyard of a man devoid of understanding, and there was an overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well, and I looked on it, and I received instruction. She's a dynamic young lady. Boaz notices this little worker bee, and there's a few things we should take note of Boaz as well. In verses 4 and 7, now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to the servant who was in charge of the reapers, who is this young woman? Who is this woman? This young woman is this. So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it is the young Moabite woman who came with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she's rested a little in the house. First thing we notice is how Boaz talks to folks. That's very important. He says, the Lord be with you. Okay, he's the boss. And he's showing up on the scene. And this is the first words out of his mouth. Hey, the Lord be with you. And you know what their response is? The Lord bless you. This tells us something else about Boaz. He had a good working relationship with his folks, with his workers. See, how folks talk to folks is usually a good indication in how folks really treat folks. Period. Bottom line, Boaz is just a good man. And a man that we will see will live up to his name. He's not, that's not just his name. That's really who he is. You know, I had one of my early experiences in machine shop was with an older machinist. And he said, you know how you can tell if it's a good place to work? It's like, well, yeah, I'm cutting my teeth here. I'm green. He says, go around and ask the employees how long they've been working there. It's like, well, that's a good bit of wisdom. Because if the job span is 2 to 3 months, that's usually a good indication that the boss is not the Lord bless you kind of guy. Okay? It's not a good place to work. We go on to read in verses 5 through 7. Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, "It is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers and among the sheep." She came and continued from morning until now, though she's rested a little in the house. Two things here that I think speak volumes about Ruth and who she is. Ruth asked if she could glean in this field. She said, "Please let me glean and gather." Based on Leviticus 19, 9 through 10, she had every right to glean. But what does she do? She asks respectfully if she can glean. I think that speaks volumes of who she is as well. Not only that, once again we find out she's a hard worker. She came and has continued from morning until now. See, Ruth had no idea that folks are watching and how she's conducting herself. She had no idea she was gleaning at the place that would forever change her life. Boaz is impressed with this young lady, who she is. And who she is going to overshadow where she came from, by the way. Okay? She's a Moabitess. She's from Moab. That's small on the scale when you look at who this woman is. One thing that we can take from this, Christians, is how we conduct ourselves matters. How we conduct ourselves at home and how we conduct ourselves around the city matters. I can remember Margaret telling me she was at a restaurant in Mount Pleasant. This was before we were involved with each other. And she was there with some teacher friends or whatever. And she had been visiting the church that I was fellowshipping with. And one of the young worship leaders was there, and the education assistant pastor guy was there, and they were basically just treating this poor waitress, well, horribly. That forever changed the way she looked at those two guys. They were just disrespectful. Conduct's everything. Romans 12, verse 9 through 15 says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly and affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another." Do you understand what's taking place here? All this is the setup for what God's going to do. Now, I will say this as well. When Ruth showed up there and the way she handled her business, this was not like she was going on a job interview and putting her best foot forward. This is who she is. She has every right to glean. "Hey, do you mind if I glean here?" She could have put forth the old act like she's working, act like she's busy. But she has been a busy bee. She has been working. She's been working. Matter of fact, she's been working so hard she hadn't even rested. So that put a pretty good impression on the guy that was supervising it. He's blown away by this lady. You know what that kind of tells me a little bit? What are these other people doing? Because, you know, when you're at work, you know who works and you know who don't work. You know who works when the boss is looking, and you know who works when the boss is not looking. I mean, this lady's a dynamo. But more importantly, don't forget this. She had no idea that folks were watching. Think about it. It's very important to get to understand. Look at verse 8 through 13. Boaz and Ruth meet for the first time. "Then Boaz said to Ruth, 'Will you listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young woman, women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from the young, from what the young men have drawn.' So she fell on her face and bowed to the ground and said, 'Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I'm a foreigner?' Boaz answered and said to her, 'It's been fully reported to me all that you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you left your father, your mother, your land of your birth, and have come to people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and full reward be given by the Lord God of Israel, whose wings you've come to refuge.' Then she said, 'Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I'm not like one of your maidservants.' Verses 8 and 9. Boaz said to Ruth, "Will you listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go and glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which you reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you're thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young man has drawn." Boaz's first interactions with Ruth is marked by his kindness. But it's not just kindness. It's kindness in his actions. It goes beyond that. He's not just selling himself. He's going beyond that, his actions. He says, "Stay close to my young women." These were Boaz's female field workers who would bundle the stuff up and put it in a bundle, the cuts of stalks of grain. In this, Ruth is going to be well taken care of. She's going to be protected. Boaz says, "Do not glean in another field. Ruth, stay in my field and you'll be blessed." See, friends, what Ruth found in Boaz's field, she would not find in any other field. There was friendship. She's going to be around young women that she was told to stay close to. Ruth would be protected. Boaz commanded young men not to touch her. And not only that, she is going to be refreshed. When you're thirsty, go drink of vessels. Get you something to drink. Now what motivated Boaz to do this, to be so kind? Think about this. Okay, I thought about this. Girl been working pretty hard. I mean, this is hard work. She's sweaty. She's stinky. She hadn't just had a time at the spa. She hasn't got her best duds on. What I'm trying to get at is, I think the reason why Boaz is kind to her is because Boaz loves the Lord. And he sees something very unique in her. We don't know what she looks like. I think she's probably an attractive young lady. But nonetheless, let's understand something. When you're sweaty and you're stinky, and you've been working, it's not like you just had your time at the spa and had your nails done and your hair fixed up and you're putting your best foot forward to try to impress Boaz. She's not even thinking about that. She's thinking about the fact that, you know what, I need to glean as much as I can. I need to take care of my mother-in-law. Boaz is just a kind individual because, you know what, Boaz loves the Lord. I mean, come on, how do you greet his workers? How do you greet them? Have you ever worked for bosses that didn't really greet you that well and they took advantage of the fact that they were your bosses? Boaz is not that kind of guy. Look at verse 10 through 13. Okay, her response to this kindness. So she fell on her face and bowed down to the ground and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" Boaz answered and said to her, "It's been fully reported to me all that you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you have left your father, your mother in the land of your birth, and have come to the people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Then she said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you've comforted me, have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." Now we might think Ruth's reaction to Boaz's kindness is a little over the top, but we need to think about her situation just for a moment. When Ruth says, "Why have I found favor in your eyes?" she really means that, by the way. This is not her blowing smoke. Why would you show me this kind of kindness? Because she says, "Since I am a foreigner." This was probably at the forefront of her mind, if you think about it. She's a Moabite. She's not an Israelite. She knew the basis of her background. She didn't belong. And don't think for a minute she didn't know what they really thought about the people of Moab. She's blown away. This made Boaz's kindness to her even that more unreal, unexpected, especially what Boaz says next. Remember, understand something. What Ruth is experiencing for the first time in her life in the land of Israel, she's experiencing God. His kindness. His faithfulness. His generosity. Through the man, through God's man, Boaz. What if she would have went to another field? I just think God's sovereign and He worked it out, but it's something to think about. You ever look? You know, see, she's not going to know this. She's not going to know this what if until later on in her life, and she looks back and, you know, like we like to do sometimes, what if? And see, this is the cool thing about having a timeline with the Lord. We look back and we see that it wasn't our keenness necessarily. It wasn't that we had it all figured out. What we look back when we see at these key moments when the Lord brings us to the right field at the right place at the right time, we look back and we're just like, wow, He is so good. I would totally mess that up. Boaz said to her, "It's been fully reported to me all that you've done to your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you've left your father and your mother in the land of your birth. And have you come to a people whom you did not know before? The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to for refuge." Then she said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you've comforted me, spoke kindly to your maidservant, though I'm not like one of your maidservants." Boaz says, "Ruth, folks been talking. It's been reported to me. Small towns are small towns. If you grew up in a small town, everybody knows your business. I never got away with anything in Mount Vernon. Ever. If I did something, my mom would know before I got home. Because people talk. But what a blessing that folks in Bethlehem were talking about the young Moabitess' faithfulness. They're impressed with this lady. Not only that, Boaz says, "Ruth, may the Lord bless you for your faithfulness." He's calling attention to something maybe she didn't even really realize to the full extent. Yeah, you know how sometimes we don't really realize who we are and what we're about until someone else actually points it out, not to puff us up, but it's something they see in us that, you know what, that a lot of times we're not even really aware of. "I've heard about your faithfulness. May the Lord bless you for your faithfulness. The Lord repay your work, and the full reward be given by you, by the Lord God of Israel." Bottom line, friends, the Lord notices Ruth's faithfulness. How she left her father, her mother, the land of her birth, and come to a people she did not know before. The Lord repay you, a full reward be given to you by the God of Israel, in whose wings you've come under refuge. Ruth placed her trust in Israel's God. Ruth left her people to come and live in the land of strangers. And what did Ruth find? She found protection under the wings of God. See, up to this point, Ruth has just been hearing about Israel's God. Now Ruth is experiencing Israel's God through the kindness of Boaz. Ruth just thought she was going to glean a field. She had no idea that she would meet Israel's God in such a practical way. Now let's pause for a moment. In Boaz, do we not see our Goel, our Jesus, our Redeemer, our kinsman Redeemer? Boaz was a great man of wealth, so is Jesus. Matter of fact, Revelation 16 says, "And he has on his robe and on his thigh the name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords." Boaz was compassionate to a stranger and had no claim on his favors, verses 8 and 9. Jesus is more so compassionate. We read Lamentations 3:22, through the Lord's mercy we're not consumed because His compassions fail not. Boaz knew all about Ruth before she met him. Jesus knows all about us. Matter of fact, Psalm 139:16 says, "Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, in your book they're all written, the days fashioned for me, when yet there were none of them." Now here's the question for all of us. How do we respond to our kinsman Redeemer, who has shown us exceedingly kindness? Do we respond like Ruth? Then she said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me, spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." Ruth's response, "Let me find favor in your sight," is just a very simple and polite way to say thank you. When's the last, and I got to thinking about this. I was like, when's the last time I just really genuinely, reflectively sat back and said, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you. Lack of thankfulness. When we're not thankful, we're not going to worship. We worship because we're blown away by His thankfulness. Let's look at 14 through 23. "Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, 'Come here and eat of my bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar.' And she sat beside the reapers and he passed parched grain to her. She ate and was satisfied and kept some back. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, 'Let her glean even among the sheaves and do not reproach her. Also let her let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean and do not rebuke her.' So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She brought out and gave to her what she had kept back, for it had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, 'Where have you gleaned today? Where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you.' So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, 'This man's name with whom I work today is Boaz.' Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, 'Blessed be he of the Lord, who's not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead.' Naomi said to her, 'The man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives. Ruth the Moabite said, he also said to me, you shall stay close by my young men until they finished all my harvest.' And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, 'It is good, my daughter, that you go with this young, that you go out with his young women, and that the people, and that the people do not meet you in any other field.' She stayed close by the young woman of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law." Verses 14 and 16. "Now Boaz said at mealtime, 'Come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar.' And she sat down beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded the young man, saying, 'Let her glean even among the sheaves and do not reproach her. Also let her let grain from bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean and do not rebuke her.'" We might be seeing some of the first glimpses of a romance blooming here, by the way. Okay? "Boaz said to her at mealtime, 'Come here and eat the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar.'" Dip your bread in vinegar. Boaz is showing great kindness and favor to her at mealtime. So he could have just invited her, "Hey, why don't you come in and get something to eat? Come in and get something to eat. Hey, why don't you come? Oh, hey, here, let me serve you." He is sharing this meal with her. It's showing privilege when they're dipping. I don't know if she double dipped. I mean, I have no idea, but I don't think Boaz would mind. See, friends, he's moving beyond just being kind. I do believe this man's interested in this young lady, because I'm a guy and I kind of know these things. Ruth may be getting there as well, because it says she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. She didn't eat all that was offered to her, meaning she didn't want to seem like she was going to pig out. Okay? She didn't want to seem like a greedy eater. She's showing some self-control. But not only that, what did she do with what she held back? She's going to take some home to her mom, her mother-in-law. Think about this for a moment in regards to the fact that she didn't pig out like she was at some Chinese buffet. How much do you think Ruth and Naomi have actually had to eat? This is real world. This ain't going down to Walmart or going here and going getting your stuff. I mean, they're in survival mode, by the way. Okay? They've traveled a long journey. They've come back, and now they are she's gleaned a field so they can have... How much do you think they've had to eat? How hungry do you think Ruth was? She'd been working all day. I know how I am when I physically exert myself, and I'm really... I'm hungry. So what does she do? She shows some restraint. Not only that, and she takes some home to her mother-in-law. This woman's a dynamic lady. See, I really wish we could teach young men. I really wish they'd get this. Observe. I wish we could teach young women. Observe. You don't know till you know. Look at verse 15 through 16. Stick a fork in Boaz. I believe he's done. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded the young man, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves. Do not reproach her. Also let grain from your bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. Let her glean even among the sheaves." Boaz is being more than generous. He's going beyond the command of Leviticus 19, verse 9 through 10. Boaz is allowing Ruth to take some among that's already been gathered. That's pretty incredible. Look at this as well. "Let some of the grain from the bundles fall purposely for her." Boaz wants to bless her, but he did not want her to feel like he was just doing her a favor. He cared about how she was going to be feeling. He says, just kind of, you know, act like it just kind of drops out. Don't make a big to-do about it. See, what Boaz is doing is unmerited. What Boaz is doing, I believe, is just a beautiful picture of God's grace. Corson said this, "In other words, let her glean in the best places. Don't bother her. In fact, spill some of the good grain you're harvesting right in her path. The workers could have protested that it wasn't fair, but grace is never fair. Grace is unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor. Grace is God dropping buckets or truckload of good things upon us." I wish we knew what she thought. Has anybody ever gone... You remember, has anybody worked? I mean, everybody's probably worked, had a job before or something. You remember going to a job for the first time? Or maybe you remember going to school for the first time? You know, the first time when you're going to interact. You remember what that was like? Butterflies and the unknown and all this stuff that's going on. Put yourself here with Ruth just for a minute. She didn't know what to expect. Can you imagine that she was just totally blown away by what has just transpired in her life? Let's look at the close of the chapter. "So she gleaned in the field until evening, beat out what she had gleaned." It was about an ephah of barley. "Then she took it and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She brought it out and gave it to her. And what she kept back, after she had been satisfied, and her mother-in-law said to her, 'Where have you gleaned today? Where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you.' So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, 'This man with whom I've worked today is Boaz.' Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, 'Blessed be the Lord, who's not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead.' And Naomi said to her, 'This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives.' And Ruth the Moabite said, 'He also said to me, you shall stay close by young men until they have finished my harvest.' Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, 'It's good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, and people do not meet you in any other field. So they stay close by the young woman of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest, wheat harvest.' And she dwelt with her mother-in-law." Ruth puts in a full day's work, and she has something to show for it. She gleaned in the field until evening, beat out what she had gleaned. Yes, God blesses Ruth. Yes, people were generous to her. But don't forget this, friend. She had to get out of bed and go to work. She had some responsibility on her end. The Lord makes the provision, Leviticus 19, 9 through 10. She simply had to take him at his word. Ruth worked hard all day, and what she brought home was a blessing. About an ephah of barley would be 5 1/2 gallon tub, 22 liters. A wonderful day's work for people who had nada. Think about it. Gave back. She gave to her what she had kept back. Besides the barley grain, Ruth brought Naomi food left over from the meal she had with Boaz, which blessed Naomi as well. Naomi is in need of seeing some plenty in her life, by the way. Because you remember last time we saw her, it was loss upon loss upon loss. She's in need of a blessing. Her mother-in-law says, hey, where have you gleaned today? What took place was they were in the right field at the right time. And it's exactly what Naomi needed in her life right now. She goes on to say, blessed be the name of the Lord who has not forsaken His kindness to the living and the dead. Remember, this woman who came into town was on an all-time low. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dwelt bitterly with me. This woman who said, the Lord Almighty, the Almighty has afflicted me. See, friends, this is not just about food for Naomi. Don't get me wrong, I think she was probably hungry. But it ain't just about food for her. It is evidence of the fact that, you know what, God hasn't forsaken me. I mean, you mean to tell me that you actually ended up in Boaz's field? And he was this kind to you? You mean to tell me not only you got this much grain, but you had dinner with him and you are serious? Then you need to do what he told you to do. You need to go back to that field. He's our nearest relative. She needed this. See, restoration is a wonderful thing when you've experienced loss after loss after loss after loss after loss. This is about restoration for Naomi. Blessed be the name of the Lord who's not forsaken His kindness to the living and the dead. Naomi is seeing the goodness of the Lord in all this. It is good, my daughter. Stay with this man, Boaz. Not only was he generous, he is our near kinsman. And that's what we'll be looking at next week. But there's a few things God's got to work out. But He's going to work it out. I think we as Christians a lot of times spend way too much time focused on impossibilities instead of God's Word. We got to have it all figured out and lined out and this and that. Stop. It's if we would just be faithful to... What if we approached God's Word the way Ruth gleaned? Really put some effort into it. What would we have to show for it? I mean, she was intentional in her work and people were noticing. There's so much to glean from this chapter, such as being at the right place at the right time. It's nothing more than God's providence, His divine care, His divine guidance. And as we'll continue to see in the book of Ruth, Boaz will become a clearer picture of Jesus, our kinsman redeemer. But for tonight, I think the Lord would just want us to leave with this one thought from His Word. Lamentations 3:22-24. Through the Lord's mercies we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in Him. Ruth thought she was just going to go out and glean some field that she would happen upon. She had no idea the Lord was guiding her steps, and she would step into the biggest blessing of her life. She would experience the kindness of God through a man named Boaz. Friends, the Lord's compassions fail not. They are new every morning. We just need to get out of bed. Okay? Great is Your faithfulness. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that life with You is an incredible adventure if we would just open our eyes and our ears. We thank You, Lord, that You take such great care of us, and we can look back our history with You, and we can see that, wow, You did this and You did that, and I just kind of fell into it. I pray, Father, as we're looking at Ruth and Boaz, that we would see truly how blessed we are in You, Jesus, our kinsman redeemer. I pray as we're going to go out tonight, Lord, you just continue to stir and implant things in our heart that would draw us nearer to you. We would really approach your word wanting to glean, Lord, and put some sanctified effort into it. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 We thank you, Jesus.